Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Good morning. While you're finding in your Bibles, please, Psalm 46. Let me just express on behalf of Bethesda Outreach Ministries, the board and administration, the depth of our appreciation for your partnership over the years, the key role that you have played in the development, growth, effectiveness of Bethesda Outreach. And we're so grateful for churches like Central and your partnership in so many dimensions. It was so good. I think in the camp photos, I saw Charles playing volleyball. Actually, your jump was off the ground. And it was just good to see a guy with of such advanced years still out and trying to do those things. Psalm 46. I honestly am hesitant to... I can't improve what you guys just sang. What a wonderful time of worship, focused around trusting God in a time like we live. So I just want to take some time this morning and walk through Psalm 46 with you. And let's start with this question. What is it that you say and sing when you feel like life is really, really tough? When you're as confused as ever? When you're weak, weary, when you're faced with questions that perhaps are not easy to be answered, what is it that comes out of your mouth? What do you say and what do you sing when you feel the most vulnerable, when you feel the most unsafe, most insecure, most troubled? When life seems out of control, another way of asking the same question is, what do you want sung and said to you? I think that's pretty much what we're going to learn and find is a very real connection in Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a song written for the people of God, frequently sung by the people of God, that was their confession of faith, their statement of confidence, what they believed about God. And then I think we can all relate to this. What they believed about God. Sometimes what we believe about God isn't connected to what we say and sing when we're in trouble. Sometimes it is. But some of us struggle at times with putting together, connecting, I really do believe in God. I really do believe God is good, holy, trustworthy, in control of all things, merciful. But then out of our mouths sometimes, if people were to listen to us for an extended period of time, they would probably find, we would probably find that very much and too infrequently, we find that what we really believe is not what we're singing and saying. Church on Sunday morning, obviously here, is an exception. We're saying and singing what we believe. Isn't it wonderful to have a corporate body like this to where we can do that? And so we give the, let me read through the psalm quickly, and then we'll work at discussing it, explaining it, and hopefully encouraging our hearts and our trust in God. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now the psalmist invites us, the songwriter invites us, come, look, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And now God talks. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Given just a quick glance around any of our lives and in our world, we have legitimate cause for concern. The potential of fear, the potential for anxiety, the potential for questions that are difficult to be answered, given our political, our cultural, our economic, our global realities, our world and lives are consistently being rocked in some way, in some dimensions, with events that drive us to fear. Some of us have just simply said, I know what the answer is. I'm going to stop reading or listening to the news. It just doesn't get any better. It just seems to be more and more complex. We add personal issues of health and our own lives and challenges. And we can relate to what the word in the psalm says when the psalmist opens up with this. He is a very present help in trouble. I just want you to think with me and identify right now, trouble. What is it? What is it in your world? What is it that causes you to be shaken up at times? This confession of faith, just as ours should have, has a robust, a defiant tone to it. The Lord is my helper. He is my refuge. He is this. He is that. It's almost like there's a couple younger children out on the playground or in the yard, and they're saying, "My dad can beat up your dad." It's that defiance. It's that there's some passion behind it. We do not know what the crisis was that the people of God were facing that serves as the backdrop for this song of faith, but the title to the choir master suggests that given a lot of songs, this one was a keeper. This is one that was supposed to be put on the playlist. This was something that would help the people of God. And so I just want to read through the psalm again with you about what you say and sing. That's what I want to encourage you to be thinking about. What comes out of your mouth? What do you say and sing when your life gets complex? What do you want said and sung to you? This song could be represented, if we would carry on the Colossians passage that we referenced earlier, buried toward the end of chapter 1 or into chapter 2 of Colossians, there's this phrase about you and I and those of you who know Christ are standing before God is this, that our lives are hidden in Christ, with Christ, in God. There's a confidence, there's a security, there's a place of rest, there's a place of assurance. And that's the message of the psalm. And I just want to look down through it with you and explain it, and then we'll talk about two or three ways that we can perhaps grow and apply. So if you have your Bibles open, let me just start again reading and explaining. God is our refuge and strength. God is the God of the Bible. And inherent in this psalm, just as the songs that we just sang and the worship that we just did, God is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the ruler of all things. That is the God of the Bible. And now this God is our refuge and strength. That distance between the God who creates, sustains, and rules. Now how in the world do we get that gap shrunk down to where you and I can say, he's is it right to say he's more than that? Or this one who is so much, to me, he has become a place of refuge, which is the place of defense. You run there to be protected. And not only refuge, but strength. He gives me the strength to live out my life in these complex situations. This God is something to me. And then he goes on to describe, and here's what it is. He's a very present help in trouble. Very present, just simply, I think it would allude to or help us understand, not only is God ready to be found, but he gives very appropriate and sufficient help. He's a very present help in trouble, which means that he is both findable and he is sufficient. Now, I understand, and I hope there are some of you this morning who are really wrestling with that truth, that perhaps your life has taken a turn, and it's been a while, if ever, that you could say, God is my refuge and strength. God, when I cry out to him, he is a source of refuge for me, and he is a source of strength for me. Maybe your complexities have overwhelmed you. Maybe as if we just want to cut to the quick on it, maybe you've developed a pretty bad attitude about God and who he is and what he does. Maybe you've been reading the news too much. I had a gentleman just a couple weeks ago in a Bible study that I'm leading look at me and say, Don, of all the stuff that you've just said about God and the gospel, I believe it, but I just can't buy it when I see the pictures in the news of the mamas carrying their children out of the gutted, bombed buildings in the Middle East. A God who would let that happen, why would he be? Why would I want him as my refuge and strength? Well, let's take that thought and set it aside just for a moment, because I think we'll get there as we develop our, as we walk our way through the psalm. But here's this very confident saying. Some of you are with us on this. Some of you are ready right now to say, he is my strength and refuge. He is knowable, ready. He's ready to help me, very present help. Therefore, now we pivot. Therefore, it now impacts my life that I do not live my life the same way that I used to. I find something that the Spirit of God and the Word of God has so activated inside of me, I'm not as fearful as I used to be. Even as I look around and I see other people and how they're responding to literally the earth giving way, as we'll see in a moment, as everything is falling apart, I seem just a little different. I do not fear. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, here's three metaphors or three word pictures. We're not going to fear though the earth gives way. Turn your imaginations on, please. That's the purpose of this. This is poetic. This is metaphorical of helping us understand. These are significant things. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters, the ocean, the sea, though its waters foam, roar, we're now looking at, and then he closes it off with, though the mountains tremble. You have that word picture in mind? If you were living in the last month or a couple of weeks, if you were living in the United States in Florida, you would have you'd think, yeah, I think I understand some of that. Man, there's some, that when the waters move and when the mountains are trembling, when the earth's shaking, there's all kinds of things that we wonder. But the picture of it is we're not going to fear. And you would agree, wouldn't you, that with the song, with the psalmist, we're not going to fear. I don't know if I'm ready for this, but we're not going to fear in some pretty unusual situations. I mean, when some pretty hard things happen, when some pretty powerful, weird, unusual stuff, I don't think many of us have lived through a period of history where we could say, I've seen the earth move. I've seen the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. But it's poetic language to at least minimally to impress us that these are heavy-duty troubles. These are, in fact, very strong. The repetition of the those, the magnitude. And so now he turns. Verse 4. There's a contrast. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. He has not changed topics. He's now moving us, if it's all on a screen in a video, or he's moving us from the pictures of the mountains and the oceans and the earth opening up and the earth moving into the heart of the sea, and everything around us that we think is stable, it's gone. It's changing. He's taking us from that picture and then, all right, I want you to look at a different picture. Here's the picture I want you to look at. I want you to look at, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And he draws us as God followers. He draws us right back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 to remind us nothing's changed up there. Nothing. Everything's moving down here. Our homes, our experience of life, it's just shaking and trembling and moving. Now I want you to look at a different picture. Look at this river with multiple streams that makes glad the people of God. God dwells there. That's where God is. And he wants us to look immediately into this concept of the stability of the presence of God. There's another reality, folks. That's why we are people of faith. There's a whole nother reality. And that is that while everything is shaking in our world and in our lives, nothing is shaking in God's house, where he lives, where his home is, in the city of God. And that's what the song reminds us about. It makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God is in the midst. Now here, for you Bible students, you have to figure out the what is her, right? God is in the midst of his people. God is in the midst of his city. God is in the midst of where he dwells. We will not be moved. And the additional promise then that God will help her when morning dawns. Now, he turns again. He goes back, verse 6. You see the contrast? Here's the holy habitation of the Most High, totally in control, totally joyful and still stable. And now verse 6, listen carefully, this is important. Remember, there's another reality. What we're seeing, he now describes. Where you guys live, the nations, what are they doing? They're raging. What's that mean? Well, it means what you and I believe, but so infrequently do we really think it through and see it this way. All nations on the face of the earth are in rebellion against God. All nations on the face of the earth are trying to govern and come up with sweetness and joy and prosperity and eternity without God. So how does the psalmist help us remember that? In the depths of our despair, in the depths of our discouragement, with the greatest questions that we have to ask that are almost unanswerable, what does the psalmist want us to remember? Where you are, this is what's happening. The nations are raging. The kingdoms are tottering. He utters his voice, and what happens? Do you see it? The earth melts. What's that going to do to my property values? Wow. Now, which is real? Is there really a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High? Or do we live in and absolutely controlled by and under the power of, forever under the power of, the nations that are raging and the kingdoms that are tottering, and along comes God and all he has to do is a word from his mouth and everything is gone. The earth melts away. And he summarizes now, he says it again in the third stanza, but now he gives us the words. This is so delightful because we can actually be trained as the people of God in what we should be saying when we don't have the words to say. When our hearts believe that God is good, but everything about our world is saying, our minds are saying back to our hearts, if you want to create that dichotomy, it's not true. Our lives really are not good. And so he says, he reminds us with this phrase, the Lord of hosts, is with us. And it may be a minimization, but at least it's a start at what the Lord of hosts is. The Lord of armies, the Lord of multiple power. He has not come to this event with his second string. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And again, a quick understanding. What is it about the God of Jacob? The God who wrestles with rebellious people and wins and extends grace. That God is our fortress. God is going to win. The contrast of the city of God, the contrast then with the nations of the world. So go to the third stanza then, and he gives us an invitation. Declares his trust. He then explains the dichotomy of the world that we live in. And he says, now come, behold the works of the Lord. I'm inviting you right now. Come on. Wherever you're at in your thinking right now, the song is saying, we want to move. So come, look, see at what he does and what he's done. Without you responding to that invitation, you will not enjoy everything out of the first verse, out of the first stanza. He's very present in trouble. He's going to do this. He'll help us when this happens. So come. Notice, he says, how God has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariots with fire. Do you see that? No. I'm just gonna go ahead and assume, because I don't. But we have to look. Through the eyes of faith, is God in control of everything that happens on this planet? Now, we have to give up some of our autonomy to even believe that. We have to even maybe give up on asking the hard questions. I can't believe that God is in control of everything on this planet until you explain how he does it. All right, we're going to just sort of take that one and put it up on the shelf right now. Because in reality, that's not the question to be asked. That's not how you frame it. Do you believe that God is in control of all things? Do you then believe that you have the right to ask him that he has to explain himself to you? The creator, the sustainer, the ruler of all things? The God who is in his habitation and unfazed by the raging nations and the tottering kingdoms, and all he has to do is speak a word out of his mouth? You just sung words about God like that. You just assigned to him incredible wisdom, authority, and power, untouchable by any of our understandings. You sang a song out of the Romans 11 passage. Who has God borrowed anything from that he should repay? Who has ever known the mind of the Lord? Who can counsel? Who's ever given counsel to him? And so we come to this where he makes wars cease. He has brought desolations. He is the one. I want to encourage you that is a part of the ability by faith and with the help of the Spirit of God to be at peace and at rest when everything around you is falling apart, is that you know somehow God is at work. Is there a reason to be afraid of the wars? And obviously there's reasons to be wise. There's reason to be protecting ourselves in reasonable ways and so forth. But isn't it interesting that in this song, if you sing it regularly, you're reminded that God breaks the bow. God's the one who shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now, some of you could bring, those are the fanciest, most deadly weapons of the psalmist's day. They don't seem all that intimidating today. If two nations go to war today and say, hey, we better get some chariots built. If we're going to defend our country, we would say, yeah, you might want a little more. Or at least if you build chariots, make them smart chariots or something like that. But the psalmist in the song of renewal of our faith reminds us that the most powerful entities around us, God just simply says, I'm more. And whether we want to understand it or accept it, that he makes war cease to the end of the earth. He's in control. Now verse 10 in this song, you see the quotation marks, and now God breaks into the song. This is what God says. And I wish we had the time. It would be so interesting to have various ones of you read this and hear your interpretive voice inflection. That makes sense? In other words, is he saying, be still? Or is he saying, stop the noise? And I would vote that we probably are all correct. But God speaks right into the desolations. He speaks into the wars. He speaks into the trouble by saying, be still and know that I am God. Now, in the context of the song that we've been, of Psalm 46, the trouble has been related to what? The kingdoms that are tottering, the nations that are raging, the desolations and the wars all around us. Now God speaks into sometimes the emptiness and confusion of our hearts and says this, I will be exalted among the nations. Did you hear me? I will be exalted on the earth. And we go back to reading our news, and it doesn't seem like that's happening at all. But what did he just tell us? He just told us that this world is going to be his. He will be exalted. In our confession of faith, what we post on Facebook, what we post on social media, what we tell our neighbors, when we whine and we moan about, and whining and moaning is perfectly acceptable. Not 4 days in a row, though. If that's where you need to start, start there. But the song is trying to move you from the fear, the anxiety, the whining, the moaning about how bad the world is. It's not disagreeing with you that the world is it feels like the earth is being moved into the heart of the sea and the waters are roaring and foaming. That's what it feels like. It's totally out of control. Somebody messed with the codes or something around here. He's just simply saying to us, keep trusting. I will be your help. I will be there in times of trouble, because here is what is absolutely true that you don't understand and I don't understand, and that is, I will be exalted. Among the nations, I will be exalted on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let me just give you a couple ways to sort of Velcro to attach this in your thinking, and maybe encourage you to continue to develop your own what I sing and say represents what I believe about God. The troubles around me, whether it is a very personal health issue, family crisis, or did you hear who just went to war with someone else? I want to learn that skill, that grace of being able, I don't want it to tamper or deaden what I sing and what I say. I want to sing and say this, even when the kingdoms are tottering, even when the mountains are falling into the sea, out of my mouth, I believe God. So just a couple pointers that come from the psalm, perhaps. One would be that your connecting of your singing and saying to your belief in this big, powerful God who is present, you run to him, he gives you strength, is that you must acknowledge your need for help. And so I would just, again, as you review the Psalm, Psalm 46, you'll notice that in each of the three stanzas, a key theme comes out, and it's this. Remember, don't try to avoid it. Don't try to entertain your way around it. Don't try to buy your way through it to prosperity. This, the world around us is moving. Everything is moving. That's why the psalmist helps us in this song. Every time we would sing those words, what are the nations doing? They're raging. Oh, okay. What are the kingdoms doing? Well, they're tottering. I had a few of the Bethesda kids at dinner the other night. We were at a family's home, and I had them read Psalm 46. I just love the sweetness of their voices, the hesitancy of the new learning to read reader, right? And when the child got to tottering, it sort of threw them a little. And I immediately went, and I don't know if this works or not, but in America we call them teeter totters. Does that work? On your playground, it's just doing this all the time, tottering. We have to simply acknowledge that the world around us is moving, but the truth of it is that seldom do we get to the point where we are willing to say, I move too. I've got this, some of us, most of us perhaps, have this concept of I believe. In other words, it's the difference between a statement of faith that says God is our triune God and he is related to this way. Jesus is born of a virgin. Jesus' death, the atonement is this. We believe in this. We believe in this. And we put all that together and we say we are orthodox and we believe the truth. But taking that then and having it come out in what we sing and what we say, some of us have not yet said or willing to admit or worked it into our vocabulary, this concept of, I may believe the right thing, but I got to tell you, it's hard to get it. I'm just pointing here to here. You guys understand, I think. It's hard to get it to come out of here. It just isn't there. And at times it's not there as much as it should. I move too. We've got trouble in verses 1 through 3 pictured as the moving, roaring, giving away of the strongest and largest aspects of our created world. Life on this planet's a moving target. It can be overwhelming, can it? I just want to ask you this question that I think if you'll answer it and be clear about it and see it in the context of Psalm 46, it'll be helpful. What is shaking you up right now? It's a given, guys. The world's moving. Our lives are moving. But what is it? What's shaking you up? And you need to come to where you can answer that and then speak. How can you speak to that from the big depth, the big heart of the truth that you believe? A second, not only acknowledging that we need help, but the psalm leads us as well to asserting the trustworthiness of God. One reason that this psalm has such a remarkable appeal to us as well as the people of God throughout the centuries is it's just vivid descriptions of God. It gives us a vocabulary, doesn't it, of how we can talk about God, how we can refer to him in the midst of all the moving parts. And I won't repeat them again or review them again, but he is who God is. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. What does he do? He helps us. He speaks. He controls war and troubles. Where is he? He's very present. He's available. He's enough. What is shaking you up? What is your go-to confidence in God passage right now? Someone says to you, did you read in the paper? The mountains just fell into the heart of the sea. All right, now talk. Out of your mouth comes what? What truth about God? What passage of Scripture are you? Where have you been in this last week that has so just filled your soul with truth that now you're able to say that the truth about God being the Creator, Ruler, Sustainer, Gracious, Merciful, Lord of all, now translates through this grid of trouble, and now I say to you a truth about God. Do you have vocabulary for that? Can you talk about God like Psalm 46 does? Can you say? Obviously you can. These are rhetorical, but what I'm trying to encourage you is you can. All right? We're just not. Because there's all kinds of ways of saying, God is my refuge. God is my strength. He's very ready to help, and when he helps, it's absolutely sufficient. Many of us live such anxious and intimidated lives, not because our troubles are so big, but because of our understanding of God is so small, especially when it comes to the vocabulary of expressing what we know about him. So what's shaking you up right now? What is your go-to passage? Right now you're on the spot. This is what's carrying me in my faith. Lastly then, the psalm, the song of trust, your statements of trust, leads us to a loyalty, a renewing of our loyalty, a tightening of our grip. What's the take away from a good confession of trust or a good song is that you will constantly be tightening and retightening your grip on God in these ways of the end. Come and see. You know that as the people of God today, it's the same. Moses said it to Israel, you guys are going to forget, and you're going to forget to your own demise. Jesus said it to our group, remember me. Remember, come and see, remember the works of God. Notice at the end also, where God takes the microphone in the song, and he says, be still and know that I am God. Turn. Be still. All the noise, all the commotion that comes with self-reliance or putting our hope in man. This is an admonition to stop milling around in life, as if there's some of the noise out there that is actually going to help you as you pursue it. How do you stop the noise? Be still, turn from other trusts, and then know that I am God. Reconnect, renew, exalt the one true God. Pledge your loyalty to him again. So I want to ask you, as I pray and we conclude, would you read Psalm 46 with me, please? And then I'm going to pray. And then during that reading, I want to encourage you to remember the works of God, to turn, identify and turn from other things that you are trusting and holding on to now, and reconnect, renew, pledge your loyalty again to the one true God. Will you read it with me, please? Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who is with us, the one who is our strength, the one who is our fortress. He is our righteousness. He is our wisdom. Thank you, Father, for the salvation, the deliverance, the freedom, the peace that is available in him. And I pray that you would draw our hearts together as we come to you, as we turn toward you, as we humble ourselves before you. Would you continue to lift us up in a very present and helpful way? We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.